This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The social network that has transformed the way young Chinese share information could sell stock to the public.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. What you might call the Twitter of China has reportedly hired two big financial firms to create an initial public offering of stock for Weibo. The Financial Times says the parent company, Sina, is looking to value itself at something like $7 billion. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us now from Shanghai. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, David.
So here we have what's known as China's version of Twitter, with tens of millions of users going public. What do you think now?
Well, I think for the Sina Corporation, which runs Weibo, this was a case of sort of better sooner than later. Weibo has only been around for 5 years, and it enjoyed incredible popularity in its first few years. But in the past year and a half, it's had some problems, starting with the government.
Now, China's government, of course, blocks Twitter and Facebook, and it censors Weibo posts. But did the problems go beyond that with the government?
Well, under Xi Jinping's new administration, the government began to arrest Weibo users based on what they were posting. The government also established a new law that if you posted what it considered to be a rumor and it was reposted more than 500 times, you could be sent to prison. And while all of this was happening, an instant messaging service called WeChat quietly began taking away Weibo's users. And now WeChat, which is run by the company Tencent, is the hottest social media platform in China. Today, I spoke to Michael Clendenin of Red Tech Advisors about Sina's problems, and here's what he said.
Sina had 12 to 18 months when they had all the mind share of their users totally focused on them. They just didn't evolve the product fast enough.
So how does the parent company Sina plan to persuade investors that it still has many good days ahead?
Well, it announced today it would be investing more money into new products that would presumably compete with WeChat. But I think the biggest problem for Sina is how to make Weibo profitable long term. It hasn't figured out a way to make much ad revenue off the site. And with all this competition from WeChat and a government crackdown on internet users in China, long term growth could be a problem.
Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is down 0.9% now. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down. One of the top websites for trading the virtual currency Bitcoin has essentially vanished, along with its founder. Hard information is scarce, but reporters based in Tokyo tell us this morning Mt. Gox seems to have been hacked or plundered. An unknown number of people had put their Bitcoin holdings on deposit at Mt. Gox, and some may have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars or more. Some angry account holders have flown to Tokyo to try to retrieve their money, at this point to no avail. Rival Bitcoin exchanges are working to distance themselves from the unfolding mess at Mt. Gox, which was started as a site to buy and sell Magic the Gathering trading cards. The Bitcoin market is still largely unregulated, something Bitcoin fans often see as a virtue. One of the first EU countries to show some welcome economic growth after the great financial crisis was one of the very smallest, Estonia. Its younger citizens are exceptionally savvy when it comes to things digital, and it's become a haven for business startups. But lately, that early growth has slowed. From Estonia, Nigel Cassidy, the Europe business correspondent for the BBC, has this report.
The Estonian capital, Tallinn. It doesn't look very high-tech from here, but appearances can be deceptive. This is the place that invented Skype video calling. Now it's morphed into Startup City. It all begins in school. The post-Soviet generation of tech-savvy politicians ensure that every young Estonian is taught computer programming. Almost all dealings between citizens and government are electronic, like TransferWise, an online currency exchange, and perhaps Estonia's most successful startup since Skype. Co-founder Tarvid Hinrikas moved to London, where he works with 15 of his 60 staff.
You can achieve things on a world scale being based in Estonia, in London or Timbuktu. Me being alone in Estonia versus TransferWise having created 45 jobs in Estonia, there's more value to Estonia in me having created those 45 jobs.
Nonetheless, a leading Estonian economist, Professor Rainer Kattel of Tallinn's University of Technology, says to get growth, the government must adjust the country's business model.
I would look much more seriously at the companies that are currently exporting, and much more a medium technology export companies, if you will. And they have many suppliers, but almost 100% of these suppliers don't come from Estonia.
But the president himself, Tomas Hendrik, is not so concerned at this high-tech brain drain.
If you really want to be successful internationally as a company, you have to have a worldwide presence. This is not a problem. I'm not worried about it. In fact, and nonetheless, most of the work continues to be done here.
Well, all this invention shows what Estonia is capable of. With a tiny population of 1.3 million, it's driven to aim its wares at a global market. But unlike America's Silicon Valley, it's finding some of the best ideas are taking off elsewhere in the world. And that's something Estonia is having to learn to live with.
That report from the BBC's Nigel Cassidy. And a sad statistic that we follow over time here on Marketplace, the divorce rate in the U.S. is up for the third year in a row. Experts say that is the recovering economy at work. During even harder times, couples find that divorce is just too expensive. Turning one household into two is not cheap, and they stay together, often in misery. In 2009, when people were feeling the full force of the financial crisis, divorces in America hit a 40-year low. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.